I want to talk a little bit today about starting the year off right. It is the first day of the year, and many of you are making resolutions. You're, you know, like me, you're going to go back to the gym. Come on, somebody. You're going to stop eating so much food, all that good stuff. And you're planning a great year. And I do hope it's a great year physically. I hope you can stick to those resolutions you make. I encourage you to make some good decisions. But today, what I really want to talk about is not just the place that we end up being, but I want to talk about the joy that comes on the journey. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to invite you to open it up to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12. And I felt led to speak from this passage today because about 20 years ago, this is the passage of scripture that forever basically changed my life. It's when the light bulbs came off in my Christian faith to encourage me in my purpose, whenever I really began to grab hold of some principles from this passage. This is actually a statement that God made the father of our faith. He made a statement to what we refer to as Abram or Abraham. Father Abraham is the father of our faith. And this is where God basically called him or spoke to him about his purpose in life and what he was gonna do in him and what he was gonna do through him. And there's some principles that we can pull from this passage that actually we can apply to our own personal lives, but more so than that, we can apply it to us as a church, because you do know that there is a calling or an assignment or a sense of stewardship that the church is to have in the world, right? In other words, God entrusts us with gifts, with personality. The Bible talks a lot about people having spiritual gifts. And God entrusts us with those gifts so we can steward those gifts. He can bless those gifts. Come on, somebody. And then he can work through those gifts in the world. And in the year 2000 is when I first was basically brought to the understanding of what God was doing in the world through Father Abraham and through the church. Back in 1998, I surrendered my life to Jesus. In other words, I made a decision to say, God, you know what? I wanna surrender my life to you. I wanna believe in the name of Jesus, and I just wanna be available to do whatever you have designed me to do. And so whenever that happened in my life in 1998, my wife and I began to pray along in 1999 and say, God, what would you have for us to do? And actually, I wasn't into just making deals with my creator. I was literally saying, God, I believe you created me, and you've designed me for a purpose to be in relationship with you, and I just want to be available, whatever that means. In that particular time, I owned a retail garden center and a little small business, a little landscaping business over in the state of Georgia, and my thought processes were, God, if you desire for me to stay planted right here in this spot, running this business for the rest of my life, that's what I want to do. I want to make myself available to be underneath your leadership and just be whoever I am designed to be. And so I would have stayed right there if so God would have called me to do that, but that wasn't the assignment that God had in mind for me. And I actually would have been willing, as I spoke to God in my little limited resources at that particular time, I said, God, if you want me to stand on my head underneath a crepe myrtle for the rest of my life, that's what I'll do. In other words, I didn't just like wake up one day and think, well, shoot, I'm gonna go to North Myrtle Beach and lead a church. No, it's been a journey. And on that journey, what I've strived to do is just make myself available to God. And I wanna encourage you in that today too. I don't know where you are in your journey, But I want to encourage you to be available for God. Because when you're available for God, God can begin to work in your life and work through your life. But, you know, God's not going to force you to be a part of his plan, but he's going to invite you to be a part of his plan. And so I made myself available. And sure enough, God took me off to graduate school over in Columbia, South Carolina, to a seminary called CIU, Columbia International University. My wife, my son, and I, we made the trip over there. And that summer, I worked as a carpenter there in the maintenance shop. And I began school there in the fall. And as I got in the graduate level studies there at CIU, I went to my first few classes. I was really intimidated because I went to my first Old Testament class. Dr. Terry Holbert was my teacher in that particular class. And as I went to that first day of class, and I had three or four other classes too, but he said, go home tonight and read the book of Genesis and come back in the next class and be prepared to talk about it. And I'm like, the whole book of Genesis? And honestly, it was quite intimidating. And so I went to the guy that basically, I guess, what do you call it, recruited me to go to that seminary. He's the guy I'd sit down and talk to, and his name was Dr. Bill Jones. And I went to Dr. Jones's office in tears because, you know, I just stepped out of a world of basically doing construction, and I wasn't what you would call academia student oriented. I wasn't like looking to read the book of Genesis in one night and, you know, plus all these other classes. And I went to Dr. Jones in tears. I said, I've made a mistake. I said, I've sold my business. I've sold my farm. I've moved from Georgia over here and now I'm coming to these classes and I'm in way over my head. I don't know what I'm gonna do with my life. I've moved my family, my son and my wife here and surrendered all. And he looked at me and he says, look, here's the deal. You're never going to remember everything we teach you here. But what you do need to remember is we're giving you a toolbox. And through life and through ministry, as you get in certain situations, learn what tool, what screwdriver, what hammer, what wrench to pull out at what time and use that. And then, you know what, you'll begin to be equipped along the journey. That was freeing for me. So I continued on with school and I ended up in his class the next semester. It was what they referred to as world missions. And in this class is where this passage of scripture was presented to me. And again, I understood. I mean, I had surrendered my life to Jesus. I understood, God, I need a relationship for forgiveness of my sin. And, you know, I've got that relationship with you and I want other people to have that relationship because I want them to go to heaven with me one day too. And that was pretty well my limited understanding about what God wanted to do in our life. But when God showed me that he has not only a purpose for me in all eternity, but he has a purpose for me right here, right now, through this passage of scripture, it forever changed my life. And that's what I want to say to you today is, you know, not only does God have a purpose for me, not only did God have a purpose for Abram, Father Abraham, but God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for us. But you got to receive that purpose by faith because it's impossible, the Bible says, to please God without faith. Faith in who Jesus is and faith in who Jesus is calling you to be in this earth. See, because a lot of people have faith in who Christ is to get them to heaven, but they don't have enough faith to believe that Christ wants to come in their life, have a relationship with them, and do amazing things in them right here, right now, and do it through them in this world. Come on. But God wants you to have faith that he's at work in your life, currently, right here, right now. And these principles that we learn from Genesis 12 verses 1-3 can basically bring joy on the journey. I didn't say it always brings easiness on the journey, but it can bring joy on the journey. So let's look at the passage, and starts with Genesis 12, verse 1. The Bible says this: "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you.'" In other words, you've got to leave something and take a step of faith and go towards something I'm going to show you. Not that I have clearly presented to you, but I need you to walk with me, Abram. I need you to go on a journey with me, because I want to develop something in your heart. I want to develop trust in your heart. And you know, you may have clinged to this stuff in your rears. And he's saying, I need you to kind of step away from the familiar and the comfortable and step towards the uncomfortable. See, faith really is uncomfortable, because you can't see with your eyes what you're stepping towards, but you can believe it in your heart and have the courage to do it. Abram, I'm calling you out of a land that's familiar, a people that's familiar, towards something that is unfamiliar, because I want to show up as the one that sustains you and the one that builds you in the process. I need you to know I'm the Most High God. And all these gods that your people are worshiping back here and they've been clinging to, I'm calling you out of that. I'm calling you into relationship with me. I want to be your God. And I'm going to work in you. And I'm going to work through you. See, more than likely, your name's not Abram. Maybe it's Felicia. Maybe it's Ann. Maybe it's Betty. Maybe it's Bob. Maybe it's Stetson Bennett. I don't know. He's the quarterback for the Georgia Bulldogs. Just thought I would throw that in there. But whether it's Stetson, it's Bob, it's Billy, it's Mary, you know, Felicia, God has a purpose for your life. But sometimes you got to be willing to move by faith and not by sight. He says, go to a land I will show you. Keep reading. He says, and I will make you into a great nation. I'm going to make you into a great nation. In other words, I'm going to make you. You're not going to make yourself into a great nation. I'm going to make you into a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great. So that, those are two words that could forever change your life. Everybody say, so that. In the English language, that's known as a purpose clause. Now, I'm not a grammatical genius, but I know when I see so that means something happened for a reason. There's a purpose in why it happens. And to be honest with you, if you really read any English translation and you begin to trace those two English words throughout the Bible, so that, you begin to understand it's two words that thread all of Scripture from the front to the back. In other words, there's a purpose through all of Scripture for human beings and why they exist and what their purpose is all about. But God tells Abram, I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing. In other words, I'm going to do something in you so I can do something through you in the world around you. I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing. And he goes on to say this, I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you, I will curse. There's freedom in that for me. Oh, worse. God has the whole world in his hands. And again, oftentimes what I want to do in my own nature is when someone dishonors or comes against me, I want to go after them. But God says, hey, leave that up to me. You focus on the blessing and be the blessing. And if you'll focus on being the blessing, guess what? I'll take care of all this other stuff. I wonder how often we get focused on the wrong stuff. We want to curse someone instead of leaving the cursing to God, instead of bless someone. And because, you know what, we're so worried about what somebody else is doing, we're not doing what God has designed us to do, and he wants to work in us and work through us. In other words, God's in full control. And the Bible goes on to say, and what I'm gonna do, in all the families of the earth, they shall be blessed. Now again, that's a agreement God made with Father Abraham. I'm gonna work in you, I'm gonna make a great nation through you, and all the families of the earth are gonna be blessed through you. And though God made that agreement with Abram, we know, because we live way on the other side of all of that, that Christ Jesus, the Messiah, came through that lineage. And ultimately, Christ Jesus is the one that was born that begins to free all people from their sin. But there's some principles here today that I wanna drive into, because I think as we move into 2023, there's really some things we can learn from this passage that could forever change our life. Because what light bulb went off whenever I heard this in Dr. Jones's missions class in the year 2000 was, God has a purpose for all people everywhere. God wants his name known to the nations of the world. God wants to work through people in other people's lives. And then, you know, you begin to really just kind of study this whole trend of what God's doing. Remember, Jesus says, go into all the world and make students, make disciples. He said, all power in heaven and earth be given to me. Go into all the world and make disciples. And he says, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then what? To the ends of the earth. In other words, he says, what I want you to do is, I'm gonna bless you. And as I bless you and put a calling on your life, an assignment, let's call it, on your life, as I put this assignment on your life, then what I want you to do is, I want you to let the assignment be your calling. Take joy in the assignment and be a blessing to the world around you. And so I began to understand that Jesus wasn't just for, you know, a certain group of people that come out of South Georgia. That's why I like the Georgia Bulldogs. I'm from Georgia, okay? But that I just need to talk about Georgia Bulldogs just a few minutes, okay? But God wasn't just for people who come out of South Georgia, but God's for all people of all nations everywhere. And God wants his name known, and he wants all people, both male and female, from all tribes, all tongues, all languages, to know who he is and walk in who they say that they are. And again, it's about getting this good news that Jesus came to forgive the sin of the world and getting it into people's heart and getting it into people's life. But the unique thing is what God is doing today is he's using his church to do that. Back in the day, it was Father Abraham. Back in the day, it was the nation of Israel. But now God's expanded that beyond the Hebrew people to all people everywhere through Christ Jesus. And now what God's doing is working in you. He gives you gifts, he gives me gifts. And the Bible says we're to put those gifts together in order to make God known to the earth. God's given us spiritual gifts to help each other. Help each other do what? Help each other grow up in our faith and help each other expand the good news of Jesus in the world. And here's the deal. You can have joy no matter where you are on the journey if you'll begin to keep that in the forefront of your mind. But in order to do that, the first principle is this. We have to keep moving. God calls us to move, not to stay stagnant. And he called Abraham away from the familiar. And again, it wasn't because, you know, all of Abraham's people were bad people and he didn't want him to experience family anymore. He's just like, look, here's the deal. I need you to trust me as God and me alone. I need you to step out by faith and step towards the unfamiliar and leave Leave the comfortable. Now, again, Abram, if you study the background of Abram, he comes from some places that were, you know, were happening places. But God called him out of that and says, go to a land I'm gonna show you. And go to a place that you haven't even seen yet. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to show it to you as you start going, as you start moving. See, lots of times people don't discover who God says they are because they never start moving. This is what I want to say. If you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the one that came to give you a connection to your great God, understand this. The Bible says in that moment, God gives you a spiritual gift for a purpose. In other words, once you become a believer, God gives you a gift. It might be administration. The Bible calls that a spiritual gift. It might be evangelism or making the good news known to others through your voice and those kind of things. That's a spiritual gift. There's one called mercy. That's a spiritual gift. And again, nobody has all the gifts, but here's the deal. You at least have one of the gifts. And the reason God gives you that gift is simply so you can enjoy that gift, use that gift, and bless others with that gift. But the only way in this day and age to be that blessing is to connect your gift to the other gifts, because it is all our gifts working together in concert, making the head of the church known, Jesus, to the world. And so God calls you to take the gift He's applied to you through your life and put it with the church and make Him known. But you have to get moving. Moving's the hardest thing, right? I mean, I'm getting older. It's hard for me to move when I wake up in the morning. I'm like, I like this warm, cozy bed. Come on, somebody. I like to snuggle up to my new 15-pound blanket. I got one of them weighted blankets. It's amazing. I'm like, this thing's heavy. I ain't gonna move. But my dog, he wants to make sure I'm going to move in the morning. So I got to move. I have to get the blood flowing. I have to get up out of bed. And I'm walking, but I move. And because I move, then something begins to happen. This is the same thing in your spiritual life. Lots of times people are just sitting on their spiritual gifts, and their spiritual gifts are not coming alive in Christ Jesus because they're failing to move forward with their gifts. God's calling us to move, to make a difference for His kingdom's sake here on earth. Bring up there, down here, as I like to say it here at Valorous Church. And again, how we do that is we step out by faith and we begin to move. But it's not just about a place we're going. It's about the presence of God in the process. And again, it wasn't like all of a sudden that I knew the day I got saved that I was gonna be a preacher at Valorous Church and be up here and be doing this for the last 20 years. I didn't know that. But I stepped out by faith and said, God, I'm available, use me. And here I am today. As a matter of fact, you know, the only way after I finished seminary, I didn't even know you could go start a church. I didn't really understand all that stuff. But I thought the way you got a job at a church is you went and tried out somewhere. And I went and tried out at like three places and they all like, we don't want him. But somehow, some way, we showed up in a living room down here. We started sharing the good news about who Jesus is and how God wanted to use other people in the process. And lo and behold, in spite of my weaknesses, God, you know what, empowered me to do what I was called to do and begin to do this on the journey because I got myself involved. I was afraid. I'm still afraid. But you need to understand this. It's always gonna be a scary thing to step out and invite others to get involved with something. It's always going to be a scary thing to step out by faith with your spiritual gift and begin to apply it and see it come alive. I back at the little church where I got saved in Georgia, like 120 people or something, I didn't I'm just like, okay, I'll do something. I know how to do landscaping. I'll plant a bush. I started planting bushes. Started running the sound. Can you imagine me on the sound machine? You think it's rough in here now? We got Doug. He's an expert sound man back there. So, the point I'm trying to make is I started moving, being a part of the church. And guess what? When I started doing it, there were some of the people in the church I didn't even like. That hadn't changed a bit. But the reality of it is God has called us to love one another. God's called us to build one another up in our faith journey. But the way you are built up is to participate with what God is doing in this world. And let me declare this. In January of 2023, what God is going to do in this world, he is going to do through his people, through the local church. He is going to bring up there, down here, through the various gifts, coming together, making Christ Jesus the head of the church. Come on, somebody. And we be in the hands and feet in the community, changing lives that change the world, reaching out on behalf of God and saying, I've been blessed, so I want to bring the blessings of God into the community. Step out. Get moving. What are we waiting for? The next thing is this. In that passage of scripture, notice it says, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Oftentimes, we focus on what is the blessing? What is the blessing for me? When we need to be focused on, no. Stop focusing on what is the blessing for me and focused on how I can be a blessing with the gifts God's given me. It's called stewardship. Let me read you another passage. It's found in Hebrews 11, verse 8. The Bible says this, God called Abraham to travel to another place that he promised to give him. That word give there, because God was going to give it to him, but it can also be translated or that he was going to assign to him. God called him to travel to another place that he was assigning him or letting him steward. The Bible goes on to say, Abraham did not know where that other place was, but he obeyed God and he started traveling because he had faith. He had faith that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, but he understood that the blessing wasn't to be hoarded, it was to be a blessing and let it flow through him. In other words, his life was called to steward the gift that God had assigned to him wherever God was going to place him. And my friend, it is no different for your life today. God calls you to a life of stewardship. And I'm not just talking about your finances. That is an area that we all need to steward. But I'm talking about the gift that God's placed inside of you. How are you stewarding that gift that God put in you? And how are you using that gift to bless others? Because the true blessing is the spiritual gifts that God gives you in order to make his name known to this earth. But God calls us to an assignment. And again, that assignment is really what God calls each and every person that belongs to his church to be a part of. And God wants to connect your gift to a local body. And again, I know that we live in a place, it's a transient area, and there's people in and out, you know, and various things, and they're here some. And again, when you're here, if you're here, you know, in the off season and you wanna use your gifts here, do it. But also learn to connect your gifts locally to where you are too. Because that is really important in order for God to work through all the gifts in unison together, because that's how God works in the world. And the beauty of this is none of us have all the gifts. And we have to depend on the other people's gifts, and we have to partner our gifts with their gifts in order to see God begin to bless the world around us. So really, the Bible speaks a whole lot about unity, not uniformity, okay? In other words, not everybody looking alike, smelling alike, doing the same countenance, dressing alike, all that, but unity with the gifts. unity in the faith, unity in Christ Jesus. And what that literally means is we understand. We understand that each of us are blessed by God to be a blessing. We take that blessing of God, we put it together with the other blessings, and we begin to let God flow in us and flow through us in the community. So whatever your gift is, I invite you to get moving with your gift and then be a blessing with your gift. And the last thing I wrote down about this passage of scripture, this principle, and again, it's a difficult one, because our culture is countercultural to this idea. But I wrote it down this way: we need to learn to honor all. You wanna bring joy into your life? Bring honor into your life. Be an honoring person towards God first and foremost and towards other people, and then begin to see joy flow into your life. Honor is an amazing thing, but honor is not something that our culture does a whole good job of today, right? I mean, what we want to do is we want to beat everybody down. We want to be better than everybody else. We want to talk about what everybody else has done wrong and what we've done right. And honestly, whenever we do that, we're really dishonoring God. Because the Bible says that God created human beings in his image, in his likeness. He created them both male and female. And again, God didn't call us to belittle other people. God called us to partner with other people, build them up in the faith. And I didn't say that, you know what, we condone everything that every person does in the world. No, that's not what I'm saying. But you know what, you don't have to condone people's behavior in order to honor a person. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about honor. And what's amazing about honor is what it does in our own life. Honor brings an extraordinary God into an ordinary world. Everything around us is just kind of ordinary. But see, honor brings an extraordinary God into an ordinary world, because God honored us in spite of who we were. While we were yet sinners, Christ honored us and went to a cross. Come on, somebody. And so he knew who we could become if he showed all the honor in the world by giving his life on a cross. But the Bible has a whole lot to say about it. Look what it says there again in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1-3. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land I'll show you. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you can be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." In other words, Abram, don't be so focused on, you know what, all the people who dishonor you. Focus on being a blessing to those around you, and then see what I begin to do. Our job is to be honorable by honoring, not by cursing others. And God said he will take care of others, and our joy will begin to come to us by being an honoring person. Listen to what the Bible says about honor. It says a lot about it. Romans chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Give respect and honor to those who are in authority." In other words, you don't have to agree with them always, okay? But begin to understand that God's in full control. And give honor to those who are in authority. The Bible goes on to say in Ephesians 6, verses 2-3, it says, "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life here on earth." The Bible says this, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church are well worthy of double honor, especially those who work at preaching and teaching." In other words, you know, again, it's about our heart. It's about, you know, it's not about what somebody else necessarily deserves, but it's about, are we willing to show honor to others because God first honored us? Romans 12, verse 10 says this, look what it says. "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. This is my favorite one. It says, "Honor all people." That means everybody. Honor up, honor down, honor all around. Honor all people. Show honor to everybody. In other words, don't think yourself more highly than other people. They're human beings too. In other words, they put their pants and dresses or whatever on just like you do. And so let's honor people. And yes, they've made mistakes. Yes, you know what? They have failed sometimes at life. And I didn't say you have to agree with all the things that they're not currently doing that's right. But what we can do is we can show honor in the process. Honor all people, you know. And this is hard, but why is it so important? The reason it's so important is it expresses what we really believe about God and what we really believe about what he did when he created human beings in his likeness. Do you really believe that God is a God who can redeem all people? Do you really believe that God is a God who loves all people no matter who they are? And my friends, here's the deal, is God will come to a person and forever change their life and give them an eternal destiny and an eternal purpose if they would so dare to put their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on a cross. And the best way that we can begin to change the world around us is honoring all people. We don't honor people for what, you know, necessarily the class they are or are not. We don't honor people, you know, based on their, you know, gender. They're all people. We don't honor people, you know, based on just their position, though we do honor positions that God gives people. But we honor people because God created them. God created you and God created me. And what honor really does, it really says more about your heart than the person you're showing honor to. It shows more about what you believe about God than the person you're showing honor to. And again, what happens is other people sometimes bring out the worst in us. What if God transformed us and other people, in spite of who they were, brought out the best in us? And we used our spiritual gifts to begin to transform our community. I do believe in our culture, one of the fallacies of our culture is dishonor. I'm talking about the world we live in right now. Dishonor that person, dishonor, put that person down, you know, belittle that person, belittle that position, No. Less honor. And when we bring honor back, God will begin to honor us and elevate us and put us in a position, rightful position, in order to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to people around us. And again, it's about believing in people, not believing in their sin, not believing in their failures, but believing in people, believing God can lift them up. And begin to speak into that in a powerful, powerful way. My friends, you wanna have joy on the journey? I didn't say the journey was always, you know, gonna be fun, but you wanna have joy on the journey. Make a move, be a blessing, and honor all in the process. And let's see what God can do. I believe that God wants to, by faith, use his church in a powerful way. And I believe that there is not a person that God is not inviting into the game to be a part of the process. But my friends, you gotta make a move. You gotta take a step of faith and see what God can do. God wants to bless his church to be a blessing to the world around us. Let's be the church that God wants us to be in 2023. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here. God, no matter what their background is, God, we believe you can step into a person's life and call them by faith, give them an assignment by faith that they would just truly trust in who you are. God, you gave Christ Jesus on a cross to show your amazing love, forgive us of our sin, God, and give us the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so that we can begin to live our purpose. God, I pray today, if there is a person here that is weighed down with the things of life, that God, they would step towards you by faith. They would trust Christ today, the one who gave his life on a cross to reposition them in right standing with you, God, so that your purpose and your plan could work through them. My friend, you know what? There would be no greater day than on New Year's Day than to step into that relationship if you never have. And so if that's the decision you wanna make today, just simply right where you sit, say, God, today I'm gonna trust you by faith. I can't see the full thing, but God, I'm gonna step towards the gift that you sent, Jesus, and I'm gonna believe today that he died on that cross and rose from a grave so I could have life. Tell God, thank you for that. And today you're gonna turn away from doing life the way you think it should be done, and you're gonna come underneath his leadership and begin to follow him with your life. And let's see what God can do. Begin to go on the journey, and let's see what God uses you for over the next 365 days. God, we thank you for all of those who are on this journey of faith and all of those who are joining us on this journey of faith. Thank you for Jesus, the one who makes it all possible. And we pray this prayer today in his most holy and precious name. Amen.